thank you very much. That was very interesting. Why don't we go ahead and have some questions directly for Huagan, and then we can go into just a general discussion, because I think we have a great opportunity here with our assortment of panel members. So does anybody have a question directly for Huagan? While you're thinking about it, I do. I was interested in, Jeffrey, what you were saying about, well, I guess this is more of a panel thing, but anyway, Jeffrey, you were saying about Southern Nevada being the target for reporting. Huagan, how is that handled in New York? Do the reports come directly to the state? And I know New York City is a little different and everything, but then how is that handled with your local health departments? Did you have to get special buy-in for that or what?
I think it's the way we do any of our applications, we through this project management methodology. So when we first started this project, it was 10 years ago, 2001, we had this eclairs. And then we have to get everybody buy-in. We have our local health department organization endorse, and then we have our executive approve and provide the funding. And then we get all our hospitals, willing to participate. And I think we get a buy-in from the laboratories too. So, and we have a project charter, and we have a project team regularly with all our partners, and then to design the system. So when we implement the system in March 2001, local health department are really wants to have the system ready, and they are willing to work with us to like we do the certification process. We ask the local health department to review record by record to validate with the paper reports, and they all willing to do it, and they see the benefit of this. And this statewide, local health department doesn't need to put any funding in it, and they get what they need to do, and they integrate with the disease reporting, so they can just come from the eclairs data goes to CDAS, and they can do all their the investigation online, and the local share with some disease they share across the county, so they can all share the data. So it's one common data set, and when they want to do any report, they always get the same number as the state, because we publish annual report, and they do their own report to get the funding from their county. So we all have the same data. Whenever we talk about anything, they can go to the CDAS or eclairs to talk about. We are talking about the same thing. So that's what we get this system. It's a statewide, and we get even New York City buying, and they are using the system too. So.
I see. Jeffrey, what would be your position if an entity similar to New York State came in and said we'll do this for you? Would you be okay with that, or would you, as a local health department, would you be worried?
I think that actually, if the state could actually take care of being the filter, I don't have a problem with that. You know, and obviously they need the mechanisms in place and the core competency in place to act as that filter. So all the necessary process steps in getting us the data, and then, you know, not just if we have, you know, a statewide electronic laboratory or messaging reporting system, that'd be fantastic. However, it's that asynchronous transaction potential for you get a message in, and now I need to send it back and get something back from the provider. Now, where does that happen? Does that happen just through the HIE? Does it happen directly with your hospital partners? And those are other, you know, things we need to take into consideration outside of just the direct laboratory reporting piece.
Good points. Thank you.
I have a question. I noticed that both New York and Southern Nevada attach the standard codes after the message is received, correct?
That's correct.
Is the end user seeing the information from the standard, the attached information, or is it the original information?
I actually have, so there's two parts. We have a reconciliation tool where you can actually go into a queue and view at any stage of the message's transition, you can view that original message content. So you can look at, you know, prior to normalization, once it's normalized, once it's standardized, it shows you all of the mapping as it progresses through. Whether or not that'll be needed, you know, long term, you know, we'll see the benefit of that.
Have you had any challenges in accuracy?
And that's the reason it's there, is actually specifically for reconciliation. So for a quality assurance metric, we can actually then look through the stages of that, you know, pick a random set of sampling messages, look at those messages to see whether or not they are being normalized and standardized correctly, and then we can, you know, evaluate them.
Are the labs involved in that at all?
The labs are not involved. You know, it's very difficult from a local health department. We reach out to our labs and try and get standardized messages. And, you know, as was said earlier, there are some, you know, very small labs, for instance, CPL or some of the other labs that we are having to take that don't provide us standardized messages. Quest is the same. We use one or two of their satellite offices. So they're involved in a norm or in a reconciliation process for completeness of data and reporting, but they're not involved in the daily operations of actually doing the evaluation or reconciliation at the local district.
Yeah. All right.
We actually, for like the Loing Snow Metco, they also put in the OBX 5 with the text, so we show the local health department the text. And the, when we map into a disease. So sometimes we they go unassigned. We sometimes may make a mistake, but then we get local health department tell us we made a we assigned to the wrong disease. So basically, the original data of the text we keep it, and then we show to the local health department. We are not changing anything. So, and the validate the HR7 format, we usually make sure those are the right data elements could go to the right place in the database.
Okay, thank you. I have a question for Julie. And Julie, you get in the position of representing all the labs a lot just because you were nice enough to be on the panel. But, you know, I have a question for you, and I did notice this on one of your slides. And I know that the laboratories have always said, you know, our ideal situation would be to have a central data repository. We put everything into it, and then everybody just pulls stuff out. And I think that that would be a great discussion to have, and I'm happy to have that if people want to have it. But I would like to say, what is the lab's number two wish? Because I see some real problems with that first one. What would be your second wish?
The second wish would be for each health department or state health department to accept the information in a standardized form instead of having to do something different for HIV agency led. You know, we fax to some, we FTP to some, we HL7 to some, we print and send to some. It would be nice if we could just do one thing, and hopefully it would be HL7, not print and send, to one state health department, and they would parse it out to the other areas. And some of them are really going to that.
I'd like to piggyback on that, if you don't mind.
Sure.
So we actually had the same conversation, and we are moving away from accepting paper or phone calls and the rest of it, and we'll take one standard messaging type, and for those departments that don't have electronic consumers of those messages, We can put it up to, you know, web, you know, it can be a web page. I mean, at the end of the day, because this is XML, we can apply a style sheet very quickly and put it in a variety of different formats. If they want it in PDF, if they want it in, you know, a dynamic web page, it can be done very quickly. So as long as we have it in a format, an electronic format, we can do a variety of different outputs to our, you know, individual program people.
Yeah, Julie, I have a question for you. I know in New York State, Mayo is mostly as a reference lab, and we have our local lab send a specimen to you to do the testing.
Mm-hmm.
And then a lot of times we have the local lab may not send the patient address. Mm-hmm. So most likely we get missing patient address, and that the percentage is pretty high.
Right.
And I don't know, do you follow up or you, because for New York State, the law is Right. The performance lab has to report.
Right.
You know, we don't have patient address, so we don't know where to assign the record to.
Right.
So what's your...
Unfortunately, our current lab system is very old, and it doesn't support the address information, even if clients would put it. And there isn't really a good place for them to put that information. So on some reports, we have to actually go and manually put it into our application to send with an HL7 to some of those like HIV and lead. That's very manual, and it takes hours to do. So that's not something we can do for every reportable condition. However, we're moving to a new computer system, and it's my hope and wish that we will add a demographic code to each one of the reportable tests. So it's up to the clients to put that information in that demo code, and then it will be sent along with that test code. So you saw the hepatitis B code. That would also have a demo code that would tell you the patient's address. Now, unfortunately, we have clients, providers that say, well, I'm not going to put the address information on for everybody that I do a hepatitis B because not all of them are positive. And I say to them, it's your state regulations to report to us to provide to them the address information. So I'm putting it on them to follow their state regulations as well. We do have an initiative over the next year that we will try to add so many tests with address information to our system. Unfortunately, we're still trying to bring this system up, hopefully in a month or two, and then we will begin those extra things that we're planning. So you might see more addresses.
And just one quick comment on that. Again, from a supplemental data standpoint, you know, in the future, you know, the hope is you don't need to change because you don't need the address information.
I know.
And in tomorrow's world, the hope is that the laboratory result comes back and we just ask for that supplemental data if necessary. And, the, you know, and that'll vary. So you have electronic locators, you know, geolocators, et cetera. So, you know, we can get all of that data in tomorrow's world and streamline the processes between both, you know, the labs, the, you know, the locals and the state. And I think it would probably benefit us all.
Hi, this is actually a comment on what Julie said earlier about the second best scenario. Currently in Louisiana, the HIV program is ahead of the rest of the program, so we're receiving all the results for all the programs and are able to parse them out. The problem is we're also doing paper because although I'm in HIV and I can control what's happening in HIV and STD, we can't get that validation up and running for lead or tuberculosis to get them to move from paper. So we are trying at the state level. It's just a matter of how much jurisdiction we actually have in some cases.
And we really appreciate those efforts, too.
You know, it's interesting that idea because in Oregon, I didn't know we even had that as a possibility when I first started setting up ELR. I just configured the reports to people how they wanted it, but we took everything, all reportables, through one central point. How many jurisdictions do not do that, Julie? Like just like 50% of them or 10% of them?
Yeah.
Or
it's probably more.
More than 80% are diverse.
Yeah.
More than 80%?
I would say that they're
oh my goodness.
Yeah.
The majority of our states have three or four reporting agencies we have to report
to. Really?
Schedule.
Really?
There's a handful that say, just send it all to us and we'll do the data.
That's
our greatest frustration.
Wow.
I've got to figure out which place I'm sending it to now.
Yeah.
Wow, yeah. I didn't realize it was so high. I didn't know that.
I talked to Carmen, and she's got the same thing. You know, she'll say, well, I'm sending this file to this state, and I'm sending this file. And I said, oh, we don't do that. And she goes, you don't. And so we talk, you know. And so one state will say, well, you have to do it this way. And then she'll call me, and I said, no, we don't do it that way. So we really are good friends, and we have that camaraderie, and we share information. And that is really good because sometimes they're doing it a better way than we are. We even actually ask for LOINC and SNOMED codes if we don't have one or something. So, you know, and I think that's really good. What?
You have raining quests?
Sure, we can ask them.
But like Rashad, what was like Rashad's situation where,
right.
one of the agencies come to us and said, hey, we want the HL7, and then the other three haven't quite gotten there yet. And so
right.
one of them's getting faxes from a number we have from 3 years ago, and one of them's getting an address we're sending them to. And so Julie's folks are busy faxing and mailing stuff while we're sending Rashad HL7 every day, and he's happy, you know. So, and the reality is he has no control over lead, and he has no control over communicable diseases, and as he goes and approaches them, they're not on that agenda. And so
right.
it'd be nice if we get all the agencies on the same agenda, at least with regard to reporting, because that makes all of your lives easier in the end, and it's cheaper for everybody.
I worked at a state health department in Lansing, Michigan, the Ingham County Health Department, and I know that you don't always talk to other areas, and I think that's a big problem. The communication inside a health department is critical to getting this all standardized. We have one state agency that will not take HIV and related tests by anything other than paper. They said, nope, we won't. So there the confidentiality thing comes in, but with all the bells and whistles, you don't have to be afraid of that anymore. Sometimes I worry more about mailing things than I do, sending by HL7 or fax. And we do a fax verification before we ever send anybody a fax. They have to sign whose it's going to, if it's a secure fax, and they have to fax it back on that same machine. And if they don't, we won't send it. So that's a little, a little more comfort, because we surely don't want reports going to Winn-Dixie or the bank or somewhere else. But I wonder really how many people actually do that.
That's a really good point. I was just thinking, I used to work as a transcriptionist, and we had to fax things. We didn't do that.
No.
I was always very, very paranoid about putting in the fax numbers, because I was always worried about that.
I know.
But, yeah.
Hi, Susan Motice from Utah. One of the things we're looking at right now is changing our reportable disease rule. And so that means I've been reading a lot of reportable disease rules. And so a question that I have kind of to throw out there is, how much variation is there in who's expected to report from state to state? So, for example, one of the things that you just said was the fact that the performing laboratory is expected to report. But I know somewhere along the line I've read that some states have that the laboratory that reports to the physician is the one that's expected to report. And presumably that's because the laboratory that reports to the physician has the patient's address. And so the closer you move back down the food chain to the original orderer, the more information you'll have, and therefore the better you'll report.
Right.
So which is it? I mean, and is this another one of these completely unstandardized things that, yeah, you're all right.
Absolutely.
You're all going, yes.
Absolutely.
Because that's one of those rules that it doesn't make sense to be different
right.
from state to state.
Right.
Okay.
They are different. Yeah.
Okay,
some
good.
States, if you're the performing lab and you send it back to a different state, they require that those people report it. I also do, because I wanted to get there faster than some state health departments, because they might sit on it for a couple weeks, that result. But unfortunately, there is no standardization. You can read some parts of the regulations say one thing, and then another part will contradict it. It'll say laboratory should report, physician should report, the intermediary should report, and we're the only one reporting. Or we'll have people tell us, hey, you're reporting it? I'm not going to. What do you do? Somebody has to report it down the, somebody does.
That's one of the things we've noticed about our rule. We have the most general rule in the world. It says everyone with knowledge must report. And
cool.
So when you have a rule that says everyone with knowledge must report, that means nobody reports, because everybody is presuming that somebody else along that food chain is going to
We will if we got a test from you that's reportable.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay. So that's something
very interesting.
That is a nice general rule there, Susan.
Can you say something about the New York State?
Sure.
We say performing lab has to report. It's really because those priority diseases, and we need a result right away. We can't wait to get back to the ordering lab. So.
Because that is the surest and fastest way to get that immediate result. And you can't trust, the physician doesn't care. Well, I mean, in the back of my mind, the only thing that really matters, I don't even care if you report, as long as the physician gets the result because he's treating the patient. I mean, ideally, right. That's the most important thing. But legally, our fallback is if you result it, you need to report it. But then, as I was saying in my earlier session today, being stringent and conformist Nazis about some things, it hurts us because of those reference labs that don't get the demographics because of the business rules, but don't require that. They just send out an accession number or something, and you're lucky if the system recombines it. So you live and die by our business rule because of that. But so, and I don't know that that's the best model either.
Yes, Oregon is actually the one you may have heard of the lab that reports to the ordering provider is mandated to report. But we also say we're happy to we love duplicate reporting so everybody can report as much as they want. We're happy.
You want to get it from the reference laboratory because it's the first one. Mm-hmm. And we may not have the demographics until a week or two later based on what the ordering lab is doing. Many of you folks won't receive an update, won't process an update with demographics in it, because it'll error out because it's a duplicate record. So we haven't all reached a point where we're speaking the same language at the same time. And if we could get to where, you know, fine, you want ours first, we'll give it to you, but when we get the information, let us send you an update that'll process accurately and not cause you guys to have to do it manually or another phone call to occur.
But that first message to human demographics. When the update comes in,
it's a new record, which is fine. Well, that's fine because at least we got the record, but the timeliness is lost, and I understand that happens all the time. Right. Yeah. And you understand the lab folks do all they can to get that data, but it's like, right. Okay, do I not report something that is a 24-hour notice?
No, nope, I'm sending
because it's going to take me 3 days to get the demographics. You got to send it.
I don't wait for any information. I send it. And we're bound by some timelines on reporting. Mm-hmm. We can't wait 3 or 4 days. One state, we have to get it out of our system in about 2.5 days, or we'll get cited for not sending it fast enough.
Yeah, so that's, you know, we understand that. So we catch stuff, mm-hmm. You do what you can do.
I'd rather send it so somebody has and can look at that report mm-hmm. than not look at it in a timely fashion.
And the folks that really care, I mean, Childhood Lead in Pennsylvania is very diligent, and they'll get stuff in that's almost a naked record, and they'll still follow up, and they'll fix it. But you can't say that for all the program areas again,
yeah.
too. So
true.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions, comments?
Jeff, hi. I just wondered what your support staff for your open source transport method was like. How many people do you have supporting it, and what are their backgrounds like?
Well, interesting. Obviously I'm Southern Nevada. We have probably the smallest health department per capita, I think, in the United States. I think we have 500 people to support 2.1 million people, 400 transients per day, I think it is, 400,000 transients per day. So our support staff is very thin. You're looking at most of it. And that's why I've automated the majority of it. The reconciliation process where if a LOINC code doesn't exist or a SNOMED code doesn't exist, it basically fires up into a queue, sends off an email. And, you know, my belief is to put the ownership into the hands of the people who know that data best. And they know, you know, the Office of Epidemiology or the HIV staff, et cetera, you can basically tell, you know, from the message content, you know, what it is. And if you understand those terms, you can send them an email, you know, pretty quickly. Otherwise, it goes into, you know, my queue, and then I'll have to reconcile it with one of the departments. But typically, we put the ownership into the people who own the system. You know, and that's the idea behind the whole open source suite that we're trying to build, is to actually put the ownership back into the community. You know, and let the community grow it. So hopefully at some point in the near future, we're looking at moving a lot of these things to the cloud, and we'll all be able to, you know, together build rules together, share rules together, you know, build the logic models and everything else that we all use, you know, typically the same, you know, models, you know, and all across all of our, you know, departments, and, you know, whether it be state or local, you know, some minor differences. But, yeah, the support staff at this point is very small.
I bet you don't get good address information on those transients, do you?
Actually. And I was going to say, you know, Google Premier or something like that. You can definitely integrate seamlessly into that to get your addresses, but, yeah.
So, thank you. Any other questions? Let me just check our virtual attendees. No questions. Okay, so I would like to thank our wonderful panel. I thought that was really so interesting. I'd like to thank everybody for coming here, whether in person or virtually. And of course, CDC, thank you for hosting the conference. And don't forget the ELR session is tonight at 7. So after you've been at the Big Band Social, come to the ELR session. Thank you.
Thank you.